This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
We are four friends in three states across two time zones with a shared passion. Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage Podcast, where we hit the fast lane to discuss our favorite drives, from the track and the ice to the court and the ball fields. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those last liability changes, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 21 of the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. I am your host, John, as always, here with my pals, David and Matt. How's it going tonight, gentlemen?
Running and gunning. Always enjoy start of the year. What a crazy week of sports we've had, especially around the football ring. Looking forward to talking about that a little bit, so... Yeah, but other than that, you know, crazy car fixes going on this week, so lots going on.
Oh, yeah. David, I heard you got yourself to some ACC games this week. How's that been?
Yeah, well, the actual game was a disappointment, but it was fun going, seeing a good game. It was enjoyable. Not a lot of people showed up. It was a 9 p.m. start, which probably had something to do with not a lot of fans showing, but it was fun to go. I got four more games coming this season, see some more ACC teams coming to town. So that's always good, but also sad on my Panthers front. Keekly retiring, but I might throw that in.
Oh, yeah. Sad.
Good to go out on his own terms, but sad as a fan.
Yeah, like I said, hopefully they'll be smart with the new regime over there and maybe offer him some type of linebacking position. I mean, he's a great leader. Yeah. Be a great guy to have in the locker room, but definitely. Yeah, I don't blame him. I mean, I think he's unfortunately one concussion away from scrambling that brain there, you know, it had that nasty one, was it a year or so ago? Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, a team that's rebuilding, I don't know if it's worth it.
According to Marshawn Lynch, he's taking care of his body, taking care of his mind, his mentals, taking care of his chicken. So, he's
take
good.
Care of y'all, take no, care of y'all's chicken, bread. Y'all.
Chicken and bread.
Take care of your money and take care of your chickens. yeah, we'll miss Marshawn for another year. We'll see if he comes back next year. For a little bit more beast mode. All right, guys, let's throw the green flag for playoffs and Hall of Fame chatter. Had a pretty big game Monday night, number one versus number three in college football, Clemson versus LSU. That was a barn burner of a game for quite a while. Guys, what did you think about that? Final score, 42-25, LSU raining down in the Superdome. But that was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, that first quarter – pure defense starting out. I was very shocked. Neither team could get the ball moving. Probably some of those jitters, even though both teams are pretty well seasoned. Yes, you know, in the national spotlight, everybody's watching you, and you know, everything depends on this game. But man, they're a record set for LSU. You know, the Tigers won. So no matter what happened, the Tigers are going to win. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, I've got all sorts of stats on that, but I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, it was one of the best games I've seen in a while, and it was great to see two wonderful quarterbacks kind of duel it out in this game.
Yeah, very likely the next two number one picks in the draft. So,
yeah,
would not be surprised about that. I mean, you said you had some stats. I know you're our stat man over there. Why don't you throw down a couple of interesting ones?
Yeah, well, Burrow threw for 463 yards, five passing touchdowns, also ran for a touchdown. Offensive MVP, what he said. And this is like the overall arching year of just everything that went right on offense for them. 60 TDs, which broke Colt Bennett's record from 2006. Just to kind of put that into context, he threw an average of four touchdowns a game, or basically one every quarter that he played, which is crazy. He has the all-time quarterback passer rating in college at 202. He threw six touchdowns in the title game, or was responsible for six overall. He threw for 521 yards between rushing and passing, which eclipsed Clemson's Deshaun Watson from a few years ago. And he had 14 touchdowns in the postseason, which is more than the Big 12 at 13 and Pac-10 at 11 total. Just crazy that he got more than two entire conferences.
Unbelievable.
Well, the fact that you also, I think the big overwhelming part is you now own the single season record for throwing touchdowns. Yeah. I mean,
60.
I feel like seasons are getting longer, can be more games in there. You know, you're getting to play a championship game, which gives you an extra game to play into. But, I mean, that's a ton. That's a lot against Division I defenses. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
No, when you the got thing about weapons.
It is, like, yeah, and we talked about it kind of throughout the year. We were like, you know, does Clemson deserve to be up there? And I think they did. I think they rightfully deserved to be a number three spot because we talked about they really didn't get tested throughout the year. But then the start of the game, you know, it was very defense, and Burroughs looked, you know, not shaken, but that they just could not get anything going offensively. And then suddenly Clemson starts getting a little bit mojo, and I'm like, can they really pull this off? And wow, was it a tale of two halves, really, between those two games, as LSU obviously fired back and went on to a pretty dominant win. But, I mean, yeah, that was one of the – even though it wasn't extremely tight score-wise, it was definitely one of the more entertaining championship games that I've seen over the last few years. And thankfully, neither freaking Ohio State or Alabama were in it. So that automatically made it better. Oh, good
Lord, don't get me started on that. That
automatically made it more watchable in my book, so –
I did read that it was the third most watched national championship game in the modern era, which is pretty cool. My favorite
would be the number one if Ohio State would have been in it.
My favorite part, though, my favorite comment after the game, I'm not sure which reporter asked this, but some reporter was asking Coach O, how are you going to celebrate? And his response, I'm going to go home and eat a ham sandwich. That is the most amazing quote of the night that I heard. I'm just going to go home and eat a ham sandwich. And that's totally him. It's something he would do.
No, anyway. You got to. That's the great state of Louisiana. I'm going to go home and eat me a ham sandwich.
Oh, that was just wonderful. Like, yeah, just give me a ham sandwich. I'm good. Just one.
Maybe that's his winning superstition. Not going to break that, especially not after getting himself a title. No. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, you would think that the Cincinnati Bengals have their guy in mind for who their number one pick's going to be.
Yeah,
kind of sucks that a guy of such talent is going to end up in freaking Cincinnati. But I think, Matt, I think you got some buddies that are Cincinnati guys, don't you? So sorry out to all you guys, but, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a crappy place to play probably, unfortunately for him.
Well, I thought it was funny just because, you know, we're talking about Joe Burrow. I actually was driving down to North Carolina for Christmas. And, if you take Highway 35 down, right before you get out of state, there were just signs everywhere. Home of Joe Burrow. I mean, he was Mr. Ohio, yeah. Right? He was at Ohio State. I think we could do a good talking about, you know, whether Ohio State made a mistake in not keeping him on and giving him more of a shot. But it was just amazing. Like, it's probably a 5-mile stretch, you know, between all the exits of this small town. And it was just, Joe Burrow, home of Joe Burrow. I'm like, well, own it while you got it right now, buddy. That's one pick in the draft next year.
Yeah, I mean, it probably will work out well for him, I guess. You know, he's going to have that LeBron effect, the coming home.
Definitely, going home.
But, I mean, geez. That, even on a year where they're, like, semi-decent, that stadium is barely half full, so – I mean, obviously, they're going to sell a ton of freaking tickets after we would assume they make their selection. Obviously, their merchandise sales are getting ready to skyrocket. But, I mean, he's not going to have any freaking pieces around him. So,
no,
you know, hopefully it's not like an Eli Luck situation where they don't, you know, I hope they don't get killed back there. And he's got a lasting career, except for when he plays the Bears. So,
and one other thing that's
– never know. He might be on the Bears.
Hey, along with the Burrow.
Be a big trade-up.
So along with Burrow, a lot of other big guys from LSU have already declared that they're going to the draft, not coming back, which is to be expected after this. But Bleacher Report has already released their super early 2020 top 25. And number one is already Clemson, which I think is pretty accurate. Then we have Ohio State at 2, Alabama 3, LSU 4, and Oklahoma at 5. It's pretty amazing that LSU is still, granted it's, you know, a few days afterwards, but LSU is still in the top 5. After losing all these top players to the draft, there's a lot of depth there. And I have a feeling they're going to continue to be So, rivaling Alabama for the top spot in the SEC for years to come.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, considering that the they've got shifting over there. Now that they've got their national championship, because the last time LSU went to the national championship, it was to play Alabama. So if you look at it that way, now he's got a national championship under his belt. He's got rolling power. Coach O's got rolling power here. He's a great coach, you know, in my opinion, on how he manages not only the team, but his coaching staff, which, you know, is not just what you get out of Nick Saban, which is just he's like a football god, you know, by himself. So he's got a lot of power going forward. He can get all those transfers, all the five-star recruits that are coming up. He's got a good chance of loading up next year again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about, like, the tide's turning. Maybe I shouldn't say tide. with Alabama.
Kill
down there,
tide.
But,
kill tide. Yeah. Kill tide.
Tide's rolling down
like,
Alabama.
You know, down there and then, you know, in the deep south, you know, it's been Bama country for, what, a decade now? Mm-hmm. And maybe finally things are starting to shift. And yeah, you're right. I agree, Matt. I think having that title under his belt, you know, there might be some guys that, you know, were, oh, yeah, I'm a Bama guy through and through. And now suddenly they're like, you know, I could be a Tiger.
Yeah.
That's all it takes, man. A little bit of hot streak. And suddenly, I mean, they could very, very easily become the new Bama as far as the most dominant team in the country.
So, definitely.
Well, all right, so I'm going to throw in my last point here, and then I'm going to bring up one interesting point that's being talked about really hot, and then we move on if you want.
If it's about Ohio State, and you're not allowed to.
Or overruled. No, I thought it was funny because my 12-year-old nephew looked at me during the Ohio State game at the end, and he goes, Ohio State's going to give LSU a better run for their money. And, you know, I think that that is true. I think Clemson was prepared for what they were going to run into, you know, and I know there's a lot of talk because there's a lot of Clemson fans in the South and we all heard it, but I think in the end it wasn't the game it could have been. I think Ohio State had more weapons. Okay, so I had to get that in there. OBJ throwing money out on the hot take after the game to the players. Was it real or not? What do you guys think?
Yeah, so that initial report was, oh, it's fake money or it's like a novelty gift or something. But then there were some guys saying, no, that was real cash. He's handing out those $100 bills. One, OBJ doesn't care. He has nothing there. I don't know why he's giving away hundreds either. But
he he also gave away the entire team, all of them, a pair of $350 Beats headphones that were part of their NCAA approved gift package.
Well, that's fine then. But just cash, yeah. Some of those guys probably don't care because they're going to the draft. They don't care what the NCAA does. If any sanctions do come down from the NCAA, it's going to hurt the guys who are still there next year. The seniors, yeah, they don't care. They're happy. They're taking their couple $100. Probably went out and partied a little bit.
Well, and they also go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, like, what is the NCAA going to say about this? You know, they're going to investigate this because it's like, how do you know it was only guys going out and technically – even though this is the last game, like they haven't declared yet and blah, blah, blah. I mean, did Coach O come out and did he say anything about the situation? Because you got to think he's pissed off right now.
As of a couple hours ago, LSU basically, this is the last report I've got. LSU did go to the NCAA and the SEC. But they've already gotten them involved in this. There is an ongoing investigation. But here's what kills me. On Pardon My Take podcast, I believe that's part of an ESPN group. But as part of that, no, Barstool Sports, excuse me. Basically, Burrow came in and they're like, so was it real? And he said, quote unquote, I'm not a student athlete anymore, so I can say yeah.
Here's my question. Really? Why is he giving out money? Like, I don't understand the purpose of that.
Because he's in the middle of a $90 million contract. Yeah, what does he care?
but
because this is alma mater, and people are dumb when they make that much money. I guess
that'd be like the equivalent of like me rolling up in there and throwing you guys all a couple of nickels,
right?
It's like whatever.
I guess it's just emotions are running high, and there's that excitement of, you know, another championship coming to LSU, and yeah, I just didn't understand the purpose of it, but I guess it's just excitement, and he's got money to throw around.
I mean, I personally don't. I don't like it when we see these big games and you see these like ex players on the sidelines and stuff like that. And the fact that they allowed him into the locker room after the game, like regardless situation, whether you like OBJ or not, like I'm not even talking about him directly. Just overall, I don't like it when you see, especially current athletes. Like I get sometimes like some of these old guys that, you know, have been through the league, you know, especially if they're a Hall of Famer or something like that, they're coming back, do a motivational speech or something like that. And, you know, they're a little bit older, a little bit wiser, have a little bit more respect for the situation. Like, I don't mind that stuff, but like current guys in their mid 20s that are still pretty much kids on their own. Yeah. I think he got hyped up in the situation.
Just coming to celebrate.
Now, instead of talking about, you know, national championships, now the NCAA has got to deal with this crap as well. If it's cost him anything, you can imagine. I don't think OBJ is going to be getting an invite back anytime soon, I would think.
Not if he's saying.
Well, here's an interesting piece for you. So, video was posted online showing Beckham counting up bills and handing them out to receivers Justin Jefferson and Jontre Kirkland. Jefferson's brothers, Jordan and Ricky, were Beckham's teammates in college.
Well.
See what happens. It'd be good to monitor that moving forward.
I mean, the NCAA is fighting for any kind of power they have left with all these states taking things into their own hands as far as paying student athletes. Years. Yeah. We'll see if they make a stink about this or not. But moving on, guys, we had another pretty daggum exciting football game in the NFL. Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. Final score ended up being 51-31. But I got to tell you, halfway through that game, I was like, man, what's going on, Mahomes? Are we rewriting the picture of Mahomes here? And then, did I eat my own foot on that one? Jeez.
No, Mahomes wants that $200 million contract, and he's proving that he's going to sign the dotted line for it. Yeah.
I mean, when you put up – I mean, he almost put up 51 straight points. After being down, down 24-0, and then, I mean, it shocked me as soon as I like that the first score. I was watching the game with people, and I said, like, I don't know, like, I feel like something dramatically is shifting here with momentum. You know, we always talk about is momentum a real thing and blah blah blah, and I thoroughly believe it is. But I mean, before we knew it, this game was almost tied. It felt like within literally minutes. Like, you couldn't run to the kitchen and grab a cold beverage before this game was pretty much back into a true competition.
Well, we went from 24-0 Texans up at the first quarter to 28-24 at halftime. So when they put up four straight touchdowns in the second quarter to take the lead at halftime, and they just continue to pile on in the second half. Yeah, I mean, that first quarter, they had no business winning with the muff punts, dropped passing, fumbles, and just essentially overall poor play, both offense and defense. So it's amazing the comeback that they did in such a time frame of just one quarter to take the lead and just build onto it afterwards.
Well, that's your offensive coordinator's dream, right? I mean, no matter how you look at it, that one quarter basically set the tone for the rest of the game, but 41 unanswered points.
Yeah.
Where's he going next year? I mean, you have Mahomes, right? But with all these coaches that are moving around right now, there's still several spots that, you know, could be filled. Be interesting to see if he stays on or moves over.
He should be a head coach. I'm surprised that he is not a head coach by now. I think he deserves it, but hopefully next year he'll get a shot.
Yeah, I thought maybe he was going to come on down to Carolina with you guys.
No.
That did not happen.
I'm happy with the Matt Rule.
You guys took a different approach. I'm a little surprised by that. But
That's why it's good. It's a different approach.
Well, for this game, according to NFL research, four records were set. Chiefs were the first team in history, regular season or playoffs, to trail by 24 in the first half and then be tied or leading at halftime. Also the first team in history to win a playoff game by 20 or more points after trailing by 20 or more points. Travis Kelce is the first player with three receiving touchdowns in a single quarter in a playoff game. That alone is ridiculous. And then Mahomes is also the first player in NFL history with 300 passing yards, five touchdowns, and 50 rushing yards in a playoff game.
It's going to see I don't know if the Bengals and KC play each other next year, but that would be an interesting game to see. To potentially, I mean, the future at quarterback is scary.
It's bright.
How well these guys are coming up and the talent. You know, we saw the shift. You know, we started seeing things shifting a little bit with Vic back in the day. And, you know, now it's – we saw with Cam, and now we're just continuing to transition, like, more – like, away – a little bit away from the running quarterback. But now we're, like, in a whole other animal of guys that can run pretty dang well, but they also have that, extremely accurate offensive arm, which was something that some of the past, you know, quote-unquote running quarterbacks in the back of the day – you know, we're kind of hit or miss on.
Yeah, the bar is definitely being raised. So kind of that old guard of Tom Brady and Drew Brees are, you know, they're on their way out. And all these new guys who have been in the league for 3 years or less, they are setting the bar extremely high. So future years, new guys coming in, they got a lot to prove to be a first rounder to keep up with the current crop right now.
Yeah. Well, just since you mentioned Travis Kelce, I didn't want to interrupt you. He's had a total of – how many did you say he got in one quarter?
Three touchdowns in one quarter.
Okay, so three touchdowns in one quarter, much less a game. He's had a total of six for the season, including those. So as much as that guy catches balls all year long, because I know in our fantasy league I've been talking to the guy that owns him. I mean, he's a points producer like crazy, but he never scored this year. He's massive. He can run fast. He's a power back. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then speaking of power backs, and as you're talking about the change of the game, has anybody noticed that the fullback position is starting to come back into play?
It's about damn time.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like
waiting
the NFL,
on that for how many years?
The NFL kind of goes through waves where everybody moves on one side, and then some coaches are like, you know what? This area is not being utilized, so let's use it and throw a wrinkle in. Then other coaches are like, yeah, this is working, so then let's shift back over. I feel like it's just waves that continue to go through running, passing, and everybody's just trying to keep up with whatever the rest of the league is doing. And I love that the fullback is coming back.
I also feel like they're going back to a true fullback, right? Because true fullbacks used to be, what, somewhere between like a 5'9 and a 6 foot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, short guys line up in the I formation, and they pop you in the chin, basically.
Right, because you would get up under that defender's chin because he's up just enough from when he's fighting off the offensive line. You know, but in the last several years, you have guys like a Travis Kelce or a Greg Olsen that – play that tight end position, they drop back into a fullback spot,
mm-hmm.
which is just, you know, it's different. It's basically like just giving you that extra time without doing a either a pull or a shift to get them into spot for a fullback to have that running room out of the backfield for power compared to being right up on the line. So it's an interesting shift, but I have enjoyed – I think I enjoyed Baltimore the most this year with a lot of pistol and full house type of sets. Those were a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's kind of sad to see Baltimore get knocked mm-hmm. out. I think that, you know, maybe the Titans will surprise us, but I feel like that dramatically changed the AFC side of things. So yeah. I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping we'd get a pretty classic matchup, and maybe we will. Who knows? Yeah, maybe Henry will show up and start running over people, but that's going to be an interesting game.
So speaking of Henry, Tyrann Mathieu plays safety for the Chiefs. Since they played the Titans earlier in the year, he said when he hit Henry coming out of the backfield, he said he literally thought he dislocated his jaw.
It's a big boy coming at you.
So he's not looking forward to it. Could you imagine the talks? Like, you've got to put on a big show, but at the same time, you're walking up to your D-line, your linebacker's like, you better take that cat down because I don't want to hit him again coming out of that backfield. I'm not covering for you.
It's a lot of power coming.
Yeah, he's going to run over you.
Look for those legs.
Moving on, again, staying into the football world, we had – whether you love him or hate him or Cowboys guy or not, or et cetera, We had, I think, one of the coolest moments that I've ever seen in a live broadcast with Coach Jimmy Johnson getting his Hall of Fame nomination on live television. I didn't really know what was going on. He came out, Hall of Fame, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, going down the list. And then you see Jimmy over there, just the tears are flowing. Yeah. And it was just like one of the most human moments I think we could have ever seen in sports. You know, again, whether you like the guy or not, you know, if you're a Giants fan, you probably hate him. But, I mean, what just a truly special moment to see just his reaction. I mean, all the years of work as a coach and as a broadcaster and everything else, just the contributions that Jimmy Johnson has made to the world of football. And, you know, I guess I hadn't really thought about it, you know, before that he hadn't gotten that nomination. And you see Troy Aikman. I've seen the videos leaked where Troy is up in the booth. I think he was at Green Bay at the time or something like that. Yeah. And he's looking at the monitor. He's crying. And I went back and watched that video, I think like 5 times, because I was like, this is just freaking awesome to watch.
You could tell. I mean, there was nothing scripted about it, and it was wonderful just seeing Troy Aikman, but also all of his colleagues there standing with him, celebrating his success, which I loved. They weren't just clapping. They were like, they were genuinely excited for him, because I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I mean, I think it's long overdue. He should have been inducted a long time ago. But just to be inducted, I mean, it's a huge honor. Only 326 people are in the Hall of Fame, and out of that, only 24 are coaches. So he's going to be the 25th coach inducted all time in the NFL. And it's well-deserved. I mean, yeah, he had a great career. He's having a great career in broadcasting. But it was very cool just to see the human element come out and the emotions flowing. Just kind of step away from the game and actual halftime and just see his colleagues there so happy for him. So I thought it was a wonderful, touching moment. I'm glad they kind of set it up to do it at halftime where, you know, the nation could see this induction process. Yeah, I guess
in a big game,
the informing.
Yeah, I mean, at age 76, two-time Super Bowl champion. He was the 1990 NFL Coach of the Year, 87 national champion, Walter Camp Coach of the Year back in 86, and now you add it to his books, 2020 Pro Football Hall of Famer. So,
did y'all read about the Troy Aikman story with him?
Oh,
so Troy Aikman's like up in the booth in Green Bay, like basically crying right along with us as all this is going down, because he's had a relationship with Jimmy for about 35 years. So basically he recruited him out of Henrietta High School when he was 17. And he was the head coach at Oklahoma State. 2 years later, when Aikman transferred to UCLA, he tried to get him over to Miami where he was at, Jimmy was at. And then after turning him down both of those times, the Cowboys choose Aikman as the number one draft pick in 89. And that's where he gets to come in, actually finally have that full coaching moment with Jimmy. And of course, we know where, as you guys said, that history goes with the 90s in Dallas.
Wow. Yeah, so that's going to be cool to see.
So it's just a neat story.
And just a quick thing, a few years ago, I was actually in Ohio for a family funeral. I was able to meet Matt at the Football Hall of Fame. And it was a great experience just walking through there and just seeing the history of how the league started, some of the historic franchises there and all the stats and just the people and the stories that the employees there will tell you of, you know, this piece of equipment was used here. It was really cool. And you could literally spend a whole day in there if you want to study each thing that's going on and take advantage of it. So if you're ever in Ohio and you're a football fan, make sure you stop in Canton. It's a really cool place to go visit.
Yeah, it certainly is a Bears fan. I got to make my way over there. The Bears tweeted out earlier that with the two new additions to this year, the Bears now have 30 Hall of Famers, most of any NFL team in there. So I definitely have got to make my way over to Ohio and really soak in.
Come on down, buddy. We'll be happy to take you over.
Hop on the Amtrak or something, get my way over there.
It's a really cool place. Yep. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, guys. Well, on that note, let's take a quick break, thank our sponsor, and we'll be right back to recap our predictions. Welcome back, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 21 of the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. Again, I'm John, here with my, as always, with my best pals, David and Matt. Just got done talking a lot of football, and we're going to kind of continue in that realm as we go into our prediction challenge of the week. So, Matt, recap us from our Week 18 games. What do we have in store this week?
Yeah, absolutely. So, complete dud for me. I'll go ahead and throw that out there as we get started. So
about time.
Don't expect any math points.
We'll always take that.
Hey, I have my two perfect weeks. So far, I'm beating anybody else who had a perfect week by one. Okay. We started with the Minnesota Vikings at San Francisco. 49ers were favored by 6.5. Of course, they won by 17. So everybody got a point but me. The Titans at the Ravens, the one game I just didn't see happening the way it did at all. Was expecting a good game. Not that good. Over under was at 48 and it landed at 40, which gave David and John a point. The Texans at Kansas City Chiefs, again, another crazy game. Over under at 49.5. The final was 82 Ooh, points. We'll thanks to way too many unanswered points. David and John got that one. I was expecting a much – I think Chris and I were really looking at that as going to be a little bit more defensively based. Apparently somebody didn't do their homework in the second half. So Seattle Seahawks and Green Bay to round us out. Packers were favored by 4. I'm just going to throw in there again with Seattle being known to lose in the last minute by 2 points. I think John and I were in the same boat, figuring that the Seahawks could keep it in that range. Packers won by 5. Wonderful 1 point. Chris and David get a point. So
I heard a comment in the standings there. My name every time.
They should have never punted the ball. But yeah, David, you finally have joined in on the perfect.
It's about
week.
Time.
About I think time I'm the was. Only one without a perfect week so far. I believe right.
I think so.
That's because we keep involving the Green Bay Packers every yeah. week.
Pretty much. And as I said, it will be a cold day a down
kryptonite.
South
kryptonite.
Before I ever pick. Like I said last week, even with Burroughs, it would be, you know, it would have to take something for the yeah, I would be picking the Cincinnati Bengals before I'll pick the Green Bay Packers any day of the week, every day of the week. So
oh man.
Can we start getting some Cincinnati games in there, Chris?
Yeah.
A little note to our producer. Okay. So for the standings, Chris, week 18 overall, or I'm sorry, went 2-2 this week. Overall puts him at 40, 33-1. David got his 4-0 this week finally. So he's at 38, 35-1. John got 3-1 this week, so puts him at 39, 34-1. And I got my goose egg, which left me 40, 33-1, which leaves Chris and I tied for first. That puts John in second and David rolling in at fourth.
What's interesting is that we're almost 80 games into this prediction challenge and we're all within 2 games of each other now.
Kind of crazy.
We're either pretty really close. Good about this or we're really bad. I don't know which way we're going to take it.
Thankfully, we're all a little over 500, though, so at least we're winning right now.
Hey, look, no matter how you do this, I think it's time for a trip to Vegas. So, or my bookie, if that's your choice. But, yeah, John, why don't you tell us about what we've got coming up this week?
Yeah, week 19, our producer's got some decent games for us, I think. Fortunately, the Green Bay Packers are one of them, but...
shout out to Chris who's just seen green.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
NFL championship or excuse me, NFC championship game, I should say. Thankfully this one's an over under. So we have the Packers, the garbage up there in Green Bay, going to San Francisco Sunday, 6:40 PM on Fox. Will the teams combine for more or less than 45 points? Matt, what are you thinking on this one?
Over.
All right. David?
You know, both teams are able to throw up points quickly. Fast offense. I'm also going over on this one.
All right. Our producer is going over. And, guys, I'm going to go under. You know, I think Seattle almost beat that nasty team with essentially no players except for Russell Wilson doing anything. So 49ers, I feel like, are a much more complete game with a significantly better defense. So I'm hoping that they'll put about 40 points. Green Bay put up 3, and I take this home.
We'll see. There's no bias here, folks. None at all.
All right, AFC Championship game. Who's going to cover? Got the Titans that were 9-7 during the season at the Chiefs, who were 12-4 Sunday, 3:05 on CBS. Chiefs are currently favored by 7.5 points, so just over a touchdown. David, who are you thinking?
Man, so I might get some hate for this one. I know they put up 51 last week. I don't know if it's sustainable. This might be a dumb pick because it's still the Chiefs and their offense, and Mahomes is electric, but I want to go Tennessee.
Wow. Interesting. I
think Derrick Henry's going to keep him in it.
All right. Hot take right there. Matt, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm going to say that, gosh, this is hard. I think David made really most of the good points, but, you know, Mike Vrabel has really turned the team around toward the last half of the year. Nice to see an Ohio State, you know, guy pulling that in there. So I'm going to say Titans on this one. I've got some serious respect for Henry. We know that the chief safety is not looking forward to hitting him if he hits that second level. So,
all right. Our producer is going to go with the Chiefs. And this one gives me some pain because I could see an upset here, something crooked and crazy going
Do
on.
It.
But,
Do it.
Come on.
Do it.
Nah, I got to go.
It. Do it.
Do it, John. Oh, John.
I got to think of my points. So,
oh,
I'm going to go Chiefs.
Chris on this.
All right. Got a two-way split here.
Because remember, straight games, I've had a better record than Chris.
It's primarily thinking, though, like, if we have a Tennessee versus Green Bay or San Francisco Super Bowl, that's going to be awful to watch, I think. So I'm hoping that we get two explosive teams with the 49ers and the KC Chiefs in the big team or in the big bowl. So let's hope. All right, moving on to players. Who's going to have more? Ryan Tannehill passing yards. He had 160 total passing yards in the last two playoff games, I should say. Or Derrick Henry, who has 377 rushing yards in the last two playoff games. Who's going to end up with more on Sunday?
Ouch.
Yeah.
Jeez, Chris, way to put everybody under the bus on that one. Where is he finding these prop bets, man?
He has his ways.
He's got his.
Matt, what are you thinking on this one? Tannehill going to throw for more or Henry going to run for more?
I'm trying to remember. What was the rushing? Does anybody remember what the rushing yards were for the Texans?
Oh, he had 180 plus three games in a row.
No. I'm saying when the Texans played the Chiefs, what was the?
No idea.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
Go ahead, John. I'm going to see if I can find that real quick, and that'll give me a better answer.
So our producer is going to pick Tannehill to have more passing yards. I think the only way, in my opinion, that – I mean, that's tough because we're talking about – I assume he's talking about one single game between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it would be crazy, I think, to think that Henry would outrush – the QB from a passing standpoint, but I feel like the only way they're going to stick in this game is if they dominate clock and possession, which is mean Henry's going to get the ball a lot. So I'm going to go crazy. I'm going Henry.
You know what, John? I will back you on Henry because the Titans' mantra is essentially they want to throw it at the beginning of the game, get a couple touches on the board, and essentially milk the clock, use Henry, get some big gains. Henry has shown three games in a row he's capable of getting big numbers, and essentially all season he's been a monster. So I see no reason why Henry can't keep that going.
All right, so if we do total rushing yards, are we including reception rushing yards as well?
That's receiving, just rushing.
Is he doing anything on the kickoff returns or any other times where he's going to touch rushing. That ball?
Just rushing.
Okay, so quick stats from the last game. Carlos Hyde ran 13 times for 44 yards as the lead rusher versus Mahomes having 7 for 53. Passing, Deshaun Watson had 388 yards and 2 touchdowns versus Mahomes 321 and 5 touchdowns. So if we're going straight yardage, flip a quarter. I'm going to say Henry. I'm leaning toward Henry.
All right. So we got 3-1 versus our producers. We'll see how that one turns out. And then one more last kind of prop bet here. Who's going to have more receiving yards? Davante Adams or boy, Greg Kittle?
I say this one is tough. This one really made me stop and think about.
I say Greg, you guys know what I meant.
George Kittle. Yeah. So I feel like this one could really go either way. Certainly Adams can rack up yards, you know, if Rodgers gets hot, but they really rely on that running back Aaron Jones to get some yards here, which can take away from Adams. On the flip side, George Kittle has been the number one option. I mean, he's all over the field every game. I'm going Kittle.
Matt, what you thinking?
I think Kittle's probably going to be your better bet at this point. From what I can tell based on this season, Green Bay is about halfway down the line when it comes to how they do against tight ends. Now, Adams being a good receiver and, you know, you're going to see him kind of go or bust. He's either, you know, break out or bust, I think in this case, but you know, they'll be looking for Kittle and Kittle's so fast for how big he is. I think it's kind of hard to argue against that one.
Yeah. I think 49ers are going to shut down Davante Adams. It's really their only offensive weapon. Rodgers has been inconsistent this year. He's had a couple of games where he's showing his age and then, you know, a few games where he still looks like old Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, they live and die by that just run out of the pocket and fling it deep and either hope someone catches it or they get a pass interference play. That's basically the Green Bay offense for the last 10 years. So, again, you know, I'll never, ever, ever pick a Green Bay Packers. So, you know, I'm going with old Georgie over there. All right.
I wonder if there's a little bit of haterade coming out in that last prediction.
I just state the facts how they are. It is what it is.
Discount, double facts. Check, getting eaten alive in Chicago.
Can't argue with the facts. Hate so.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, on my other podcast, Danica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers made an appearance on that one. Somehow
are they still dating?
Yeah, they just
bought
like
a house together.
$30 million house together in California. Certainly.
No wonder the dog isn't in his commercials anymore. She probably killed it.
Ouch. Oh, yeah, that's we cool. had 3 Chicagoans on the podcast, and so Danica got a little hate as we were talking Formula 1. But anywho, all right, guys, let's throw the checkered flag. Any final thoughts for the week? David, what's going on?
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, happy and sad about Luke Kuechly retiring. Sad as a fan, he's still in his prime, but no, he's going out on his terms while he's still healthy, able to live a wonderful life. So I hope he stays around the game. Separately from that, ACC basketball is going on. We're in conference play now for all basketball now. So I'm happy to see some of that. All of North Carolina, Wake Forest, UNC, NC State, and Duke are having a good season. So be fun to see what happens once you get to the ACC championship in Greensboro.
Considering, as a Duke fan, Duke just got beat by Clemson. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of excited for the fact that Duke actually is having to play versus just leaning on one or two guys for the entire season. So, from that aspect, it's good. That it's true. I'm so done with the whole like Clemson fan aspect right now.
Well, they may be the only ones that have a chance of dethroning Duke this year because I don't think anybody else is going to touch him.
No.
Unless Carolina gets some guys back from injury and gets a little magic going. I don't think that – I feel like NIT is going to be in our future this year.
Unfortunately so.
Yeah.
So, but anyways. Matt, what about you?
Oh man, dude, this, like I said, this week was just kind of crazy with vehicles, you know, trying to drive to work and your car dies on you, and not expected that at all when it's running perfectly, no problems before. So dealing with that kind of fun stuff, you know, we're starting to get all that cold weather up here between rain and snow, and, you know, John, you know how that goes. The weather can't decide what it's going to do. But really just looking forward to, in about 2 weekends, we're going to make a trip up to Chicago. So not this weekend, but next. So hoping to catch John and his family. And, yeah, something fun to look forward to.
Absolutely. And, yeah, nothing too crazy for me this week. We watched some football. And there's a pretty big UFC fight this weekend that I'm going to try to catch.
Hold on. Which football are you watching? Because we know you kind of switch
well,
both ways.
That's true. I'll be watching both kind of football.
Gotcha.
I'll be watching
those football old English roots.
And football. Yeah. Football. It'll definitely be Saturday morning. It'll definitely have some football. Maybe even Sunday morning. Have some football on, and then but Sunday afternoon, yeah, we'll switch it back to the American pitch,
the real football.
So yeah, that'll be interesting. And then, like I said, yeah, big UFC fight. Hoping one
is that McGregor.
Hoping he gets knocked out and shut up. But
versus the Cowboy or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think the Cowboys. That was a betting man. I don't know if I'd put it on Cowboy, but I hope somebody knocks McGregor out. Can't stand that fool. So, all right, guys.
Just put John in the ring with him and make McGregor wear an Aaron Rodgers mask, and McGregor will be on the ground crying for mama.
Hey, whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes. All right, gents. It's been fun. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and we'll chat in a few days.
All right. That sounds good.
Take care, guys.
Definitely. Take care.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at sportsgaragepod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.